Good afternoon. Welcome to Open Air, KALW's weekly magazine of many things culturally considered. I'm Kevin Vance, sitting in for David LaTulipe this week. On today's program, more about music at Menlo. Violinist Arnaud Sussman will be in to talk about Schubert and more. An awesome festival at Montalvo. Kelly Seacat will tell us about the Rock the Garden event going on tomorrow. Our regular contributor Peter Robinson will remind us how much fun it is to sail on San Francisco Bay, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum at Foothill. Melissa Carey returns to KLW to tell us what that funny thing was. Stay tuned. I am pleased to bring to the KLW studio, to the microphone, Arnaud Sussman, fine violinist who will be one of many people participating in music at Menlo. Among the many things that he has accomplished, he's the winner of the 2009 Avery Fisher Career Grant and many other things. Arnaud, welcome to KLW.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I was telling Arnaud earlier that I didn't grow up with a lot of classical music in my background, but I do remember being a seven-year-old and being taken to a church one time and watching a string quartet and watching the violins and the cellos and the music being made, and I thought it was quite magical. Mm-hmm. For people who are fans of chamber music, this is something that they'll see all the time. But what would you say to somebody who had never been to a chamber music performance before?
Well, it's an incredible art form, and I feel very fortunate to be playing a lot of chamber music in my musical life. And what can they expect if they come see a chamber music concert? I think incredible contact with the musicians. In chamber music, there's no conductor, so usually it's one instrument per part, rather small ensembles, maybe a trio or a string quartet, as you talked about, can go up to maybe a septet or octet. We just performed the Beethoven septet, and about to play a Schubert octet. So maybe that's about the most players you would see on stage for a chamber music performance. And there's a lot of eye contact, a lot of communication. And I think this translates very much to the audience. And I love playing chamber music.
Well, how did you get involved with music at Menlo?
It all happened because of the directors of the festival, David Finkel and Wu Han, who run the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center in New York. And they have a young artist program called CMS2, stands for Chamber Music Society 2, which is quite hard to get in. You have to send an application and audition for it. And every 3 years, they take a few musicians, I think about 10 to 15, and we sort of learned the craft of chamber music by playing with the older musicians and going on stage with them, touring, and I did that from 2006 to 2009, and I've been playing at the Society ever since, and I'm very fortunate to be part of that world.
2009 was when you came here to the Bay Area to work on music at Menlo. Mm-hmm. Had you been in the United States long?
Yeah, I came to the U.S. in 2001 to study at Juilliard, and so it's been ever since then I've been in the U.S. Yeah,
where is home? Or where was
I'm originally from France, from Nice, the south of France. Grew up there, and then I started traveling for music.
What attracts you to participating in a festival like this?
Well, Music at Menlo is a particularly extraordinary festival, and I usually tell people that in the summer it's really fun. You get to travel to all the different places throughout the country and the world, and stay in beautiful homes, and there's always a nice atmosphere in the summer. But Music at Menlo in particular, it's a full-on experience. There are concerts, there are lectures, encounters, they call them master classes, all kinds of events, and there usually is a central theme every summer. This summer in particular, it's about Schubert. So for the audience, they really get to have a full experience learning about everything they can learn about the composer and life at the time and the music that was written by the composer and who he influenced. And so it's an all-around festival where people get a full experience.
Is it like summer camp? Sort of chamber music summer camp?
There is a component to that because they do have young musicians coming to study with the older artists. They have a program for, they call them young performers. They're up to 18 years old. And then international performers, which are from college age, 18 and above. And so there is a summer camp component to it.
Are you working on this festival like every day now?
Yes, I'll be here for the entirety of the festival. So I've been here about a week. I think the first concert was this past Saturday, and it goes on for 3 weeks.
What do you guys just do?
Well, I just came from rehearsal now. This morning we rehearsed the Schubert Octet, which we're going to be performing on July 25th and 26th.
Ooh, okay.
And they're programming, obviously. We're not going to be able to play all of Schubert's music this summer, but they're programming quite a few of his biggest hits. We played the Triad Quintet a couple days ago, and I'll be playing the Cello Quintet at the end of the summer, which is one of the greatest masterpieces he ever wrote. So it's very exciting.
Sounds very exciting. Have you worked on other festivals?
Oh, I travel to festivals all summer. So I was just in Germany with David Finkel and Wuhan, a couple of the musicians. I'm going to Saratoga Springs with them after this, and many other places, yeah.
You're going to be performing. Will you be teaching students?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's part of it for all the artists there. So I've had already quite a few sessions with both the young performers, as I said, and the international students as well.
What age range are we talking about?
So the young performers, again, it's below 18, and international performers are college age. So I'm not sure what the oldest is over there, but 18 and above.
But do you know what the youngest is?
I think the youngest might be 11 or 12, but don't quote me on this. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. And they're receptive.
It's an incredible, talented bunch of musicians. There are many, many talented musicians out here, and I think I can speak for all the artists. We're very impressed with the level of the musicians, and it's particularly fun because a lot of the younger players, there's no limit as to how many times they can come to Musica Menlo when they're young, as long as it's under 18. And so a lot of them come back year after year, and I just can't believe the high level of chamber music playing that they do, and also just personal playing on their instruments. So it's very exciting.
Is there enough time to practice? I mean, you're busy. You're teaching. You're performing. Is there enough time to rehearse?
You're very busy. Yeah, they make sure to schedule enough time for all the rehearsals. Sometimes it feels a little crunched, but we always pull it together. And of course, we make sure to be prepared before coming to the festival so that the personal practice doesn't take all that much time.
And in all the work that you do, do you get a chance to unwind and relax?
Yes, I love that part of it. And
who doesn't?
So, yeah. but it's true that it's a busy festival, so you take the rest when you can, but it's not that many hours in the day to do that.
Our guest right now here on Open Air is Arno Sussman. He is the violinist and one of many participating at Music at Menlo. Music at Menlo Chamber Music Festival and Institute is going on right now. It's the 13th season with particular emphasis on the music of Franz Schubert. It's ongoing through to the date of August 8th. And there are 50 events on 3 stages at Atherton and Menlo Park. For online information, you're welcome to go to the website, which is musicatmenlo.org. Telephone number, if you like using the telephone the old-fashioned way, it's 650-331-0202. Arno Sussman, one of many performing at Menlo. How many musicians are operating, are working on this project? You may have told me that, but
I think there are about 40 musicians, if I remember correctly what Wuhan said, that will be coming in and out. They have maybe 6 or 7 coaches that not only perform but also supervise the young players. So, and then as far as the students are concerned, I think it's maybe a group of 30 or 40 as well. So it's quite a few musicians on campus.
There's particular emphasis this year on the music of Franz Schubert. How do you like playing Schubert?
Oh, well, he's an incredible composer. There's a reason why he's beloved by so many people. And you can spend your lifetime trying to play his music as beautifully as possible. It's masterpieces, everything he wrote. And so particularly being here and being able to hear all these works put together and hear sort of the influence he had on other composers and other composers influencing him and learning about his life through the encounters. It's a wonderful, wonderful festival, and I highly recommend anybody that could come to some of the events to come.
So you've just done the Trout and you're working on the octet now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it anything particularly challenging about doing the octet?
Definitely. It's actually quite a long piece to start with, so you have to make sure that you have the right pacing when you perform this piece. And, of course, there's so many instruments, so balances are difficult difficult thing that you have to work on. And you're playing with wind instruments, so you definitely have to work on blending in and coming through when you need to come through. So there are many elements to playing this octet, and doing a good job at it is difficult.
Particular emphasis on the music of Franz Schubert for Music at Menlo going on now through the 8th of August. Again, website for more information is musicatmenlo.org, and a telephone number would be 650-331-0202. We're talking with Arno Sussman, one of many who will be performing, instructing, and allowing us to bathe in the music of Franz Schubert. When this is all over, where are you going next?
I'll be flying back home for a few days. Finally, I've been traveling for quite a few weeks now. Then on to Saratoga Springs for Chamber Music Society summer concerts over there. And then I'll be flying to France for a little family time, and then spending a week in Paris working with the Paris Chamber Orchestra, where I'm going to be playing and conducting at the same time.
So you get a chance to go back home every once in a while, you don't?
Every once in a while, yes.
Do you, the silly question asked, or do you get homesick when you're here? Or
not at all. Here in particular, no, because I get to stay with the same host every year, and it feels like family over there.
Aww.
And I love California. I love Silicon Valley and San Francisco. So here, not really. But every so often, if you know, when you're at the airport at 5 in the morning or in a different hotel room all the time, you can feel a little homesick. But it's also beautiful life, so I'm certainly not complaining.
Okay, well, you got to get out of here. You're going to work on the octet then tonight. And then when is the performance going to begin?
For the octet, it'll be July 25th at 6 p.m. and July 26th also at 6 p.m.
That's tomorrow and the night after,
correct,
right? Yeah. Okay, so you got some work to do.
The day after tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow. Okay, 25th and 26th. And what venue will that be?
On the 25th, it'll be at the Center for Performing Arts at Menlo Atherton. And on the 26th, it'll be Stan Family Hall at Menlo School.
Arno Sussman, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. We're looking forward
to enjoying the music of Franz Schubert and everything that's going on at Music at Menlo. Good work.
Thank you.
A little bit of the octet here. What's going on at the very beginning of the octet?
Well, there's the introduction right there. I'm hearing a little bit of it. And the composer is getting you ready for a very exciting first movement right there.
What part do you play in the octet?
For this particular performance, I'll be playing second violin. And there are great musicians, so it'll be a great performance. Anybody that's free, you should come, 25th and 26th.
Arno Sussman, merci beaucoup.
Merci, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wow. You don't have to be nervous. I'm more nervous than you are.
To you. Took a study.
Oh, no, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, fans of chamber music and fans of the music of Franz Schubert and fans of just some beautiful music, you're welcome to attend any performance, and especially this weekend's, of Music at Menlo, the chamber music series going on through the 8th of August, 50 events on three stages in Atherton and Menlo Park on the peninsula. A website for more information is Music at Menlo, all spelled out, MUSICATMENLO, MENLO. .org. Telephone number 650-331-0202. The program is Open Air, KLW's regular Thursday afternoon program of things culturally considered, normally hosted by David LaTulipe. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Vance. I'm very happy to welcome to the KLW microphones Kelly Seacat, who's working on an event at Montalvo Arts the Montalvo Arts Center. I always keep thinking of Montalvo as being the winery, but it's become more than that.
The Villa Montalvo.
The Villa Montalvo.
Now Montalvo Arts Center.
Ah, that's where the distinction is made there. And you are the director of the Lucas Artists Residency Program.
I am indeed.
What is that? What all do you do?
Well, we're an international multidisciplinary arts program. And we serve about 60 artists a year. They come to us through a selection process, through nominators and a jury. We select our artists per discipline. Our residency program is celebrating an anniversary this year. We're 75 years old, and we are currently housed in a brand new facility that is on its 10th anniversary. Mm. So we have 10 discipline-specific studios on site, two built specifically for composers. We have visual art studios, literary art studios, a studio built for a dancer and choreographer. So it's quite a phenomenal place. We have culinary artists, media-based artists, visual artists, sculptors, painters, you name it, filmmakers, they're coming to us.
What exactly is a residency?
Good question.
Go right ahead.
So a residency, well, there's many in the country, and we're the third oldest in the United States. So at 75 years old, we were the third residency built and the oldest this side of the Mississippi. And they were historically thought of as a place for retreat, a place to go and spend time and create new works and really dig deeper into one's craft. So, for instance, the violinist we just met may come and write new works or practice deeper some of his interests. But today, our residency is situated in a public park. It's on 175 acres. We're in a very active performing arts center and multidisciplinary arts center. We, this summer, are hosting 46 summer camps, and we have visual arts on the grounds. We have a beautiful exhibition of Stefan de Stabler's works on the grounds this summer, and we have many new works that we've commissioned around the property. And we have hikers, probably about 200,000 people coming through using our hiking trails every year. So there's always people in and out of the grounds. This gives our artists an incredible opportunity to share their process. And that's really what we hope to do with Montalvo.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic. Oh, my gosh. What does one have to do to become an artist in residence?
It's a great question. So for our residency, we select our artists mainly from a nomination process. So I've got groups of nominators in various disciplines from around the world that I reach out to when it's time to look for composers, musicians, visual artists, literary artists, and they send me nominations. That pool of nominators, probably 50%, have been through the residency. They know our program very well. And once those artists are selected, we invite them to apply. They go through a professional jury. We usually select about 24 artists working in a various discipline. We then give them 3 years to fulfill their time. So it really works around their professional schedules. They come, they can sandwich their time and spend a month with us, come the following year and spend a month. This provides a lot of opportunity to engage programmatically with the work we do at Montalvo.
Is there a discipline that you are not able to accommodate?
Glass blowers.
Really? Okay, glass blowers. Okay, that's dancing and music and acting and.
We have the distinct privilege at Montovo of having been a performance venue for many years. So we have a very small, intimate carriage house theater that seats 300 people. We have our historic villa, which houses can hold audiences of about 100. We also have an outdoor garden theater, amphitheater, which can hold 1,600. So this gives us a lot of variety and places for performing artists in particular to work, share their work. We have about 6 acres of formal gardens and grounds. This is a great place for our visual artists to experiment on the grounds. And we keep stretching that idea of art on the grounds. Can it incorporate poets? Can it incorporate dancers? Can it incorporate musicians?
And all this work and all these artists and all these people who've been gathering together, this is all going to come to one big event, and that's tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. Is it called Rock the Garden?
So Rock the Garden is our annual Art on the Ground celebration. And this year, we're stretching the idea of Art on the Grounds, and this is a performance festival celebrating our 75th anniversary and 10th anniversary. Tomorrow night.
Who all's going to be there? Who all are we going to see?
This is fantastic. So we're working with an emerging string quartet out of the Bay Area, Real String Vocal Quartet, or RVSQ.
I love them. I've had them on my other show, yes.
I love them, too. And I think one of the interesting things we can do as a residency program is expand and not only take individual artists working on their individual practice, but bring in collaborative groups. So having the entire quartet there for a month, really being able to work together, gives them an incredible opportunity to develop their work. Motoko Honda will join us. Motoko Honda is a Japanese native. She lives in the Bay Area. She is a beautiful classical musician, but also does a lot of improvisational work. She will start the evening about 6:15 with a piece from our historic villa on our Bechstein. So we're looking forward to her. Later in the evening, she'll be joined by Chris Tyner in a jazz duo on the main lawn.
Mm.
Pamela Z will be with us.
Ah, the great vocalist.
Oh, the great Pamela Z.
Great Pamela Z.
She will be in our Oval Garden. This is the setting of most of our weddings and ceremonies. And she will create a vocal sonic pool. The Oval Garden was the historic pool to the property when it was first built. It is now a garden. Debbie Kichama and Jose Navarrete will collaborate on a piece, recognizing the Japanese tsunami that happened. They'll be on the front lawn. They'll be performing in and around our visitors at various times in the night. Joanna Highgood, the artistic director of Zacco Dance, will be joined by Zoe Klein, Adonis Martin, and Claire Whistler, and they'll be performing at the gates of our Italianate garden and down the pathway towards the Love Temple, a story in four parts with the lovers and the spirit and a wanderer.
I love that one of the dancers is named Adonis. That's actually his first name, right?
Fantastic.
I think I know what I want to be when I grow up, Mom.
Okay. Yeah, Adonis. Nahara Kalev is a past fellow. She'll be joined by Nikki Barodi and Glenn Easley, and they've created a very fantastical aerial performance that'll happen back in a wooded area off to the side of our garden theater. And they will be dancing in silks, playing ukulele, and several works that Nikki's written for this performance, and I think it's not to be missed. Lauren Baines is a dear artist to us. She's a past colleague, just completed her MFA at Mills College, and is really a force to be reckoned with in the South Bay. She will perform an installation we have in our gardens that was created by Robin Lasser and Adrian Powell, and this is our edible dress tent. It's a large woman. You can take out her bust and put in a human. And Lauren has performed this work before, but she's coming back and choreographing a new work for that space. Dalak Brathwaite will be there. He'll do a piece, a spoken word piece. He will also end the evening with a dance work for us. He'll give us an opportunity to dance.
I remember the name. He gave a really wonderful performance at a slam poetry event many years ago, and I've been pointing people in his direction ever since.
And this last spring, he had a solo work at Z-Space and did an amazing project there.
Wow.
And then the finale of the evening will be a performance created by Hirokazu Kasaka from Los Angeles. He'll be joined with Oguri, a beautiful buto dancer, and Tetsuya Nakamura. And they will perform a buto performance down our great front lawn.
So this will not just be sitting down in an audience and watching a lot of things going on stage. This is, you can walk around the grounds and you can see all this.
If all goes as planned, our hope is that we've brought the grounds to life. We've really shared what comes out of our residency, what kinds of performances we're incubating, we're supporting from the residency. These are all California-based artists. For me, that's important. The property was originally left to us by the late Senator James Duval Phelan, and he loved California like no other, and this is a beautiful makeup of what California looks like.
Well, this sounds really exciting. This is Rock the Garden. It's the Artist Residency Alumni Celebration and Performance in the Park. It's happening tomorrow, the 24th of July, starting at 6 p.m. at the Montalvo Arts Center, 15400 Montalvo Road in Saratoga. A website for more information is montalvoarts.org. We're talking with Kelly Seacat, who is but very much the force behind a lot of this event. I'll bet this is exciting to watch this all come together.
It's a little hair-raising for us. This is really our first in-house performance festival we've created from the residency. Not our first that we've ever done at Montalvo by any measure, but from our program.
The Lucas Residency Program, it's named after Sally and Don Lucas. Who are they? Who were they?
Sally and Don Lucas are very much still with us.
Excellent.
They will be with us tomorrow night.
Yay.
They've been big supporters of the Montalvo Arts Center. They were local entrepreneurs, business leaders in Silicon Valley. They worked with car dealerships, but they've invested greatly. They're great philanthropists, invested in the arts, in education, and just huge supporters of ours. We couldn't have done this without them.
How many people are you expecting at the event tomorrow?
We're expecting in the range of about 1,000, I imagine. There's free parking at West Valley College. There will be shuttles bringing people up and in. Parking on site will be $10. Food trucks, you name it.
Oh, great.
Participatory performances, sort of Fluxus-inspired. You can make your own performance if there's not enough to watch.
What will you keep the momentum of the celebration going, or is it going to be back to normal next year? What's normal at Montalvo?
I think the way we hope to keep the momentum going is through our blog, and currently and simultaneously we have an international celebration happening about the residency. We have artists celebrating from Marrakesh to Cairo, to Brisbane, to Mumbai, to Cuba, Havana. So we're excited about the work they're doing. They're sending us the celebrations. Some may be a solo walk by Daniel Canagar, a visual artist living in Madrid, Spain. Others are big picnics or performance in Mexico City, impromptu performance by Andre Solis and his collaborator Sandra Gomez, who will be back in the Bay Area performing a new work with Santa Clara University in the Mission on January 22nd.
We're talking with Kelly Seacat. She is the director of the Lucas Arts Residency Program, and the big event that we're pointing to your attention is Rock the Garden, the Artist Residency Alumni Celebration and Performance in the Park. It's tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. going on till 10 p.m. At the Montalvo Arts Center, 15400 Montalvo Road in Saratoga. A website is montalvoarts.org. Are you working on any more festivals around the... anything else going on the anniversaries, the 75th and the 10th for the new building?
September 25th, we'll open a new exhibition in our gallery space, artists looking at the botanics on the property. And in October, we're lucky to be partnering once again with Found Sound Nation, a subsidiary of Bang on the Can.
Oh, yes.
And hosting the One Beat Festival. So that will be the next festival in the fall. We'll have 25 musicians on site from about 17 different countries, and then their production staff, and they will be coming together in a cultural exchange and creating new music, and we'll have a big open public festival for that on October 25th.
Excellent. I'm about to play some of Pamela Z. Where will she be again in the garden?
Pamela Z will be in the Oval Garden.
The Oval Garden, okay. Kelly Seacat of the Montalvo Arts Center, we're talking about Rock the Garden. It's happening tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. Montalvo Arts Center, 15400 Montalvo Road in Saratoga. A website for tickets and information is Montalvo Arts, MontalvoArts.org. Kelly Seacat, thank you so much for all your work, and this sounds like an awesome event.
Thank you for having me.
Heroes, the Real Vocal String Quartet, one of many acts going on simultaneously and all part of the great Rock the Garden event tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. Friday the 24th of July at Montalvo Arts, 15400 Montalvo Road in Saratoga. Again, montalvoarts.org. It is open air. My name is Kevin Vance, sitting in for David LaTulipe this afternoon. We're talking about all things culturally considered in the Bay Area. So a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. I have seen that record for so many years, and I've been meaning, and my father was very much a musical comedy fan. I wish I could go back into the other world and ask him what he thought of that, but I'm sure that was one of his favorites. He loved Zero Mostel.
Of course.
And what is it about? What is a funny thing that happened on the way? I would imagine it's a comedy based on what, Julius Caesar's by Shakespeare, or is it a little bit more sophisticated than that?
Well, sophisticated might not be the right word, but it's a mashup of two plays by a Roman playwright called Plautus, 200 BC-ish, and pretty lowbrow humor. And so it's a farce, and it does take place in ancient Rome, and there's, your typical farce, disguises, mistaken identities, a crafty servant who has to escape and get his freedom, and, you know, of course, love interests. Gotta have a love interest. And it came about in the early 60s when a playwright called Bert Shevlev and Larry Gelbart of MASH fame.
I recognize that name, yeah.
They wanted to do something contrasting to sort of the golden age of Broadway. You know, we had South Pacific and My Fair Lady and all these great, R&H, Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. Well, they thought, well, come on now. That's actually probably not exactly what they said. That's what I said in my head when I was having the conversation. But anyway, they said, Broadway needs something that's just fun and playful. So they decided that this lowbrow farce set to music would be fun. And they grabbed up what was then the young Stephen Sondheim, who wrote the music and lyrics. And it is a two-hour laugh riot. The opening number, called Comedy Tonight, tells you exactly what you're going to get. Body and funny and et cetera, et cetera. And it ends in about an 8-minute long chase where all the characters are running around and the mistaken identities are revealed. And then, you know, we bring out the pretty girls at the end and we have a kick line.
A proper introduction is also due. Melissa Carey, who's on faculty at Foothill College in both the theater and the music departments, teaching acting and singing. Is there, is it hard to work in two departments in college?
Well, you know, my strange little niche is singing theater. So musical theater is... you know, I still do a little bit of opera directing up here in the city at the Conservatory of Music. But musical theater is really where I spend most of my time. So it works out great for me.
Mm. How did you pick a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum?
Oftentimes, you know, it's what a director has in mind to do. Earlier this year, we did another Sondheim show, a more known title probably for Sondheim, Sunday in the Park with George. This one was, we needed something for the summer. In the big theater, we were looking for something fun and comic, and that would have a big, broad appeal. So that's how this one came about.
Remind me about Sunday in the Park with George. That wasn't a comedy, I take it.
No. Well, there's some comic moments in it, but it's your straight-up Sondheim where there's a lot of angst and agita and hard music. Mm. That one is about the painter, fictionalized account of the painter George Seurat and his relationship to his work, the creation of art, the life of the artist, and his muse is called Dot, which, of course, is, you know, reference to the dotting of the painting itself. And then the first act is in and around the Seurat painting. And the second act of that show is George Seurat's great-grandson, an artist, also going through the struggles of dealing with how to live the life of the artist.
We're talking with Melissa Carey, and she's one of the main forces behind the production of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, being put on by Foothill Music Theater. Music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. Performances at the Smithwick Theater at Foothill College. That's located off of Interstate 280 on El Monte Road in Los Altos Hills. It's opening tonight.
Yes!
Oh my gosh, it's opening tonight.
Tonight's actually our preview. We open tomorrow night, but we are ready.
You are ready.
We are ready for an audience, because the last thing you need for all theater is the people to come see it, especially in the comedy. Because, yeah, we need the laughs.
This is going to be going on till the 9th of August on Thursday nights at 7:30, Friday nights at 8 p.m., Saturday nights at 8 p.m., and a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And a website for more information is foothill.edu/theater/funny-things. And the telephone number is 650-949-7360. You're following the script, I'm sure, the way Sondheim meant for it to be done. But are you embellishing any extra dramatic, any extra comedic business?
Well, you might imagine that if the original actor playing the crafty slave role was Zero Mostel, and then when it was revived, first it was Phil Silvers, and then most recently Nathan Lane, that there was a lovely opportunity for that actor to play off of the audience and the things that might happen on stage. So we are really lucky that our Pseudolus is the name of that character, is a very funny actor, and he's quite adept at thinking on his feet and responding to things as they come up. So yes, there's some improv that happens.
What's his name?
Doug Santana.
Doug Santana. That sounds like an easy name to remember.
Yeah.
Should we look for him in the future?
Oh, I think so. I think so. Yeah.
And then the actor's on stage, and then what about the music? It's not going to be canned, is it?
No, we Foothill Music Theater. We are holding to having an orchestra. So this one's a pit of 10. plus a conductor. And this show is even, it's pretty early, so it's even, 1962 still makes it an acoustic show. So it's still kind of an old-fashioned show. Plus, they wanted to write a vaudeville, so it's old-fashioned. So we have a lot of brass, trumpets, trombone. Who has a trombone in the pit anymore? I don't know.
Oh, a trombone would work.
It adds to the humor. What can I say?
Yeah. Oh, this is fantastic. What's the biggest hurdle that you're encountering directing this show? What's the toughest thing?
You know, I think for all farce, there's a fine line between driving the pace, because farce is funny when it goes really quickly, and then making sure these incredibly clever lyrics and this incredibly clever book are also heard. So it's still a farce, but it's also Sondheim. So when we get to all of those unbelievable patter songs with all those lyrics, we really got to make sure that they're all heard. So it's that dance between pace and making sure that the story is being delivered.
Timing. Most important thing in comedy, timing.
Timing.
This show goes back to 1962. Did you have to change or update anything? Jokes, the references that don't work anymore?
Not really.
Dare I say it, politically incorrect stuff?
Well, the show could... Some people might say the show's a little politically incorrect because of the three houses on the street in Rome. One of them is a house full of courtesans. So the women who inhabit that house are, you know, working girls. So
workers.
So it was a vision. It was that vaudeville version of female characters. So they would not be written today, is all I can say. As for the script, the script is so good, they went out of their way to remove anachronisms so that the jokes are just classic setup jokes. And then when you're in the hands of somebody good like our Doug Santana, they can color it with a local reference to the, you know, the intersection down the street.
Okay.
Or, you know, somebody else in the show. Or so we can add some local flavor. I don't want to give any of them away because they're darned clever.
So there will be topical references.
Just a little. One or two or three.
Okay.
Four.
What about the set? Tell me about the set.
The set's delightful because it's what they call a unit set. So because it all takes place on quote this street in Rome, we have the houses of each of the characters. So we have the house of ill repute, Marcus Lycus, who's got some very colorful columns at his front door. And then the house in the center is the house of the family where we get the star-crossed lovers. And then the house on the other side of the street is the old guy, Ironius, who went away to try and find his son and daughter who were stolen by pirates in infancy.
Sounds almost Walt Disney.
And because it's all just a little, it's just all a little cockamamie, the houses are a little askew and colorful and quite playful.
A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, in performance at the Smithwick Theater at Foothill College. That's located off of Interstate 280 on El Monte Road in Los Altos Hills on the peninsula. Opening to the preview tonight, and the big, big opening is tomorrow.
Yippee.
And going on to August the 9th. Showtimes are Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 8 p.m., and Sundays at 2 p.m. A website for more information, foothill.edu/theater/funny thing. A telephone number is 650-949-7360. Can I bring my 9-year-old to this?
Yes, you can.
Really?
Yes, you can.
I mean, he's been exposed to some raunchy things.
Yeah, you know, it's literally slapstick.
So it's fun for the whole family.
Yes, it is.
It's okay for people to get hit over the head and stuff like that.
Yeah, they get up and then they sing. It's all good.
tell me about your co-director.
Michael Recano, I'm so lucky. He's a longtime friend and choreographer, and he is great at working the clown business. So all art's about collaboration, and musical theater certainly about collaboration, and Michael is just a gift to collaborate with.
Is it easy or is it harder to have a co-director?
In this instance, it was easy. It was easy. So we could tag team all of the work and make sure it was just spot on all the time.
Melissa Carey, the major force, the co-major force.
Co-major. Love it.
Between the behind the scenes of the funny thing on the way to the Forum, great Stephen Sondheim musical theater. It is opening tonight, preview tonight, big opening tomorrow, and it's happening Thursdays at 7:30, Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Smithwick Theater at Foothill College. And that's located off of Interstate 280 on El Monte Road in Los Altos Hills on the peninsula, and it's going on till the 9th of August. Melissa Carey, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making us laugh, too. Thanks for making all these people make us laugh, too.
Oh, my pleasure.
We're looking forward to it. So a little comedy tonight, then.
Great.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something appalling, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Nothing with kings, nothing with crowns. Bring on the lovers, liars, and clowns. Old situations, new complications. Nothing portentous or polite. Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight. Something convulsive, something repulsive, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something aesthetic,
something frenetic,
something for everyone,
a comedy tonight. Nothing with gods, nothing with fate.
Weighty affairs will just have to wait.
Nothing that's formal,
nothing that's normal.
No recitations to recite.
Open up the curtain. Comedy tonight.
Storm clouds are riding through a winter sky. Sail away, sail away. When the love light is fading in your sweetheart's eyes, sail away. Dream sky high. Sail away, sail away, sail away.
Peter Robinson, welcome back to KLW. I'm reminded how long it's been since I've been out on a sailboat in San Francisco Bay. I think I was maybe still a teenager, so it must have been at least a couple of years ago, but I don't have very much memory of it. So I'd love to hear you talking about sailing in the Bay.
Yeah, well, I certainly will talk about it, Kevin. Good to be here. But I was just thinking, when they were playing that Noel Card number, just before I go into the real Wish of the Wind and the Salt of the Sea, I should add that there is a Noel Coward Festival going on in Palo Alto. It has just started. It includes the play Hay Fever with the director Lynn Sofa. There's also a very interesting symposium on August the 1st, which is at Stanford, at the School of Continuing Studies. And in addition to that, they have a cabaret evening with Noel Coward Cabaret, and this all runs until August the 9th down there on campus at Stanford. And I've got a couple of numbers if people want to follow up. One is 650-725-5838, or else you can do Stamford Rep at stamford.edu. So that's just inspired my thinking about sailing from the famous Broadway production with Elaine Stritch, actually singing Sail Away. And I was smiling. I am going to talk about sailing, but I was smiling when we were talking about a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, because when it did open in London, they had Frankie Howard's, a very funny comedy. But prior to that, anybody who knows the Edinburgh Festival, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, had gone up there and they were doing some practice lines from this. And a lot of the plays up at the Edinburgh Festival are done in small rooms in hotels. And I remember calling up the director saying, I'd like to write something about it. I said, when does the performance begin? He says to me, he says, when can you get here? And there in the audience of two, myself, critic Michael Billington from The Guardian, got our preview of a funny thing happened to me on the way to the, I was going to say on the way to the Edinburgh Festival, which could happen any time, but this time on the way to the Forum. Now, when it comes to sailing in the bay, a couple of observations I've made, not unlike what you said, that a lot of us live looking at the water. We see the two great bridges, the Oakland Bridge, the Bay Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. We hear the ripple of the water, but we don't actually go on the water. And for almost 30 years, I ran a newspaper column called On the Ferry, which was on the water, and I lived on the top deck there. It was my little kingdom. But I've got to say straight away that although that was a great way to commute, it is very different to sitting in a sailboat where you really are on what I call the edge of the water. You don't have the drum of engines. Even if you're in a powerboat, you've got the drum of engines, which takes away some of the sound of the sea. And then you've got the splashing of the water. And then, of course, you have our favourite, the crying of the gulls, or you'll see a pelican drop for an early morning breakfast. There are no diesel fumes. So, again, you're ecologically in the world of what San Francisco's all about. And then you get the pull of the tides. And again, this is a bay which is controlled by very many different types of tides. You get a different tide when you go under the Golden Gate Bridge to when you push the boat out there in Sausalito. And so you've got the rhythm of the swell. So again, you're getting that kind of lilt back and forth. And if you're up to it, you get the spray in your face. So now you're on board, you're drifting across. I often think of the a poem by John Masefield, I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer me by. So there is the kind of romanticism of sailing. But for people who maybe aren't familiar, I am going to suggest three possible sailing schools where you can learn how to master the mainsail without being stripped to the mast. One character, and I think this is conducive to living here in the Bay Area, and when I was writing the On the Ferry column, this would always be a fallback character that I would introduce. And by that, I mean the fog. There is nothing more magical in the morning than watching the fog rise above the water. And there's so many different words. You know, it can be misty, it can be Arthurian, it can have a shimmering quality to it. But all these things play into that moment, and it is a moment of being there on the top deck. So first, my three sailing suggestions, if you want to start from scratch. One is called the Club Nautique. They operate on Colgate 25 or 26 footers, and they have a specially designed course. It's a four-day course, which is their normal course. It costs probably around about $1,000 for the 4 days, which at first, if it sounds like a big figure, and it is a big figure, you break it down, it's about $65 an hour, and you come out of it with some knowledge of what sailing is about. If, on the other hand, you've already got the basic handle on how to do it. They also have advanced coastal navigation courses. So that would be one choice to check out. Now, for young people who really want to get into it at a young age, and it does cater for young people, the Treasure Island Sailing Club would also be another good starter. The boats are much smaller, from sunfish to other type of 12-foot dinghies, where you can just learn how to master which rope to pull and, of course, what to do when you capsize. And I think that's a relevant factor, because all three of the schools I mentioned, the Club Nautique, the young people who are doing their training there at the Treasure Island Sailing Club, and the one I mentioned at the end, OCSC, all put safety first. So I think one of the prerequisites is that they supply you with a safety jacket. And I think that's really important. Those little orange life jackets may not be the most colourful, fashionable items to wear, but they will keep you alive when you tip over. And let's face it, tipping over is part of the fun too. You don't go sailing to come back with a cosmetic smile on your face. You come back with water all over you. And then the last one is called OCSC, and this is out of the marina over there at Berkeley. It's run by Anthony Sandberg, and he is a real inspiring old salt. He's been teaching sailing for years. He actually created this sailing club just almost 40 years ago. He converted what essentially on the water was a rubbish heap and turned it into a fine sailing club. And they have a full range of classes. They are primarily interested in adult sailing, although they do help with the Treasure Island one. So if you're looking for either sailing lessons, sailboat instruction, even US sailing certification, or even considering chartering a sailboat or club membership, probably I would kick off with OCSC over at Berkeley. Now, let me give you a couple of helpful phone numbers in case you want to follow this up, because they are three different organisations. The Treasure Island Sailing Club is 415-421-2225, and that is really for young people. The Club Nautique, 510-865-4700, and they operate out of Alameda, and again the full range, including certification. And then the last one is OCSC at 510-843-4200, and they too do the full range. They're using usually J105s, and it's usually groups of five or six, and you'll get full instruction. But come back wet, come back with a smile, come back with the wind in your hair as well as in the sails. And I think, as Noel Carr said, sail away or sail on, or as Rod Stewart put it, sailing. Good to be here.
Sailing, I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free. I am flying, I am flying like a bird across the sky. I am flying, passing.
Happy birthday to Amalia Rodriguez, one of the great fado singers of the 20th century, born on this day in 1920. She passed on in October of 1999, the great queen of the Fado. Our program was produced by Neil Swinkles, the real star of the show. Open Air will be back next Thursday at 1 p.m. I'm Kevin Vance. I'll be your host again. David LaTulipe will be back in August. Do you want to make your Facebook feed feel a bit more informative? Just like KALW. KALW San Francisco, the BBC News Hour, is next, recorded an hour ago. It's 2 o'clock.